Cavani with the pump fake and one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Long Two. I am Pete Rogers. He is Natty Wallach, and we are Carmelo's Anthony Podcast and occasionally talk fantasy basketball. Holy buckets, Natty. It is. Whoo, we are jumping on. Our schedule's been kind of all over the place. We're jumping on now, though, to record, and this is going to come out ASAP. We're not even going to wait, Natty. We're not even going to wait. Normally, we record these the night, and then they get published the next morning. We are publishing this motherfucker as soon as we are done recording, because it happened finally. James Harden has been traded. He worked his way out of Houston and has been sent to the Brooklyn Nets. Whoo, Natty. How are you, buddy?
It's been a very slow news day, so I'm just full of vim and vigor, ready to go. Nothing else has happened today, so
right,
it's great.
Right, I love the fact that, like, honestly, what we as a society should be talking about is the fact that Trump got impeached for a second time within, like, whatever, like 2 months or some shit, and was the first, you know, obviously the first president to ever get impeached twice, and and now it accounts for, I saw this, which is, I just think is beautiful, is that he accounts for 50% of all presidential impeachments in U.S. history. Just is all incredible. Like, that should be what the country is talking about. But no, James Harden gets traded. And not only does James Harden get traded, but James Harden, like, this trade evolved halfway through the trade. So we had the rumors coming out all throughout today, right? Today felt like judgment day. The Rockets were basically like, James Harden, stay at home, don't come to participate with the team. And everyone's like, okay, Harden is getting traded within 24 hours. And so when it broke, everyone's like, okay, this makes sense. And so the initial report, James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets. And what was happening was the Rockets were getting back Caris LeVert, Dante Exum, Rodnas Krukus, four first round picks and four first round swaps with Brooklyn. And then the Cavaliers were a third team getting brought in, because they were contributing a first round pick, Jared Allen and Torian Prince going to the Cavaliers. And then as Twitter and the NBA world is like having this bomb being dropped on us, Shams comes out of nowhere from the top rope and is like, oh, also, by the way, the Rockets are acquiring Victor Oladipo and sending Caris LeVert actually to the Pacers. So the whole trade comes down to James Harden to the Nets, Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum, Krukus, three first round picks from Brooklyn, one first round pick from Milwaukee, which is part of the Cleveland deal, four first round pick swaps with Brooklyn, all to the Rockets. The Pacers get Caris LeVert in a second rounder, and then the Cavaliers get Jared Allen and Torian Prince. We are going to touch on the fallout for all four of these teams. Let us start, Natty, with the Nets, because this is something that it was between the Nets and the Sixers. It sounded like the Sixers didn't want to part with Ben Simmons and Tyrese Maxey. And so Harden is now joining Kevin Durant and maybe Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn.
Yeah, the strangest thing about it is that it still feels like the season is in flux and anything could happen, especially with all the canceled games.
Anything could happen, because we might not even have, like, the season might get delayed for a period of time.
Right.
Like it's not even, we don't even know, like, what teams are going to be good. It's like, we might not even have a season. We don't even know what's going on with the season. It's insane.
And the Nets now have DeAndre Jordan as their starter again, maybe full time. Their front court, or their center position, is a little bit thin. I kind of wonder if they're going to make another move. When I saw that Jared Allen was going to Cleveland, I thought, oh, they got Drum too? That seems like a lot of money. But he's still in Cleveland, so the Cavs.
Gotta love Cleveland's team building strategy.
It actually looks like a complete team when you look at the depth chart. Like, they have lots of dudes. It's just that it doesn't really seem like it's a good team. But let's stick with Brooklyn. This is a power move. It is an announcement that the Nets are for real and they're going to go for it. They think they have a chance. Otherwise, why even try? There's maybe no other team that really has the firepower that they have now. Like, they're starting five if everybody's healthy and everyone's starting is Kyrie, the Beard, Joe Harris, KD, and DJ.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's, but it's also a lot of ISO, and it's going to be just Joe Harris. Like, Joe Harris will never have the ball in his hand except in catch and shoot situations. But you know what? Who cares? Like, DJ isn't there to score either. So this is going to be three stars and role players. Jeff Green is there, as he always tends to be on teams like this. There's definitely reasons to believe that this is now the best team in the NBA. Again, if everybody's healthy and firing on all cylinders.
Right.
Having said that, what was everybody talking about when the Lakers won the title 5 minutes ago? How big they are. The Nets are still not as big as the Lakers are, even though they match up okay because having Kevin Durant fixes a lot of things. But their defense isn't going to be nearly as good as LA's. So while I do think that this makes the team better, I still am a little suspicious of their chances against a full throttle LeBron Lakers team. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point to bring up, because the real question is, like, who's your AD stopper? Because because honestly, not that Jared Allen could contain Kevin
Durant. No. But
wait, like, I said AD. AD is who I meant.
Yeah, totally. AD and KD like maybe cancel each other out. But then
You're likely gonna have KD and LeBron. That's gonna be that battle. And like, Jared Allen is at least a defensive minded big who can be in the way of Anthony Davis. And now you're having DeAndre Jordan do that. Like, and the fact that you've added
Claxton is there, although I think he's injured maybe. Yeah. I don't, I would like to have another center there for sure.
Right. And the fact that just like, I mean, everyone, this is the meme going around, but like, you know, the Nets are about to win games like 140 to 135. Like, this, you know, you didn't add defense and that's going to be what I'm curious most about, though, is what we're going to see in terms of a distribution. Cause the last time we saw Kevin Durant and James Harden share a court together, and I'm bringing up stats and informations here. Nice. 2011-2012, KD averaged almost 20 shots per game. Harden, this was before Harden was, you know, he was a sixth man, averaged 10 shots per game, and Russell Westbrook averaged 20 shots per game. And now that's, you know, that's the last time you had Kevin Durant and Harden and a big third playing together. It'll be interesting to see, you know, Kevin Durant right now is averaging 18 shots per game with the Nets. I would guess that stays about the same. Harden averaging 16 per shot, 16 per game with the Houston, though. That being said, he hasn't really, I mean, he's played eight games and 22 last year, 24 the year before. I mean, the question is can the Nets offense support Durant, Kyrie when he's playing and wants to play, and Harden all taking 20 plus shots per game?
Here is a similarity between those three players, between Kyrie, Harden, and Durant. They've all played with other stars already.
Also true.
Isn't something new for them. Like, they've done it with the best, literally. And in Harden's case, he's done it with a lot of them. So this isn't going to be...
Kevin Durant's case, too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all of them, really. Like, yeah. They're...
No, totally. I mean, Kyrie might
be Kyrie's first year in the league, like, he wasn't surrounded by anything. But aside from that, the three of them have had stars with each other the whole time.
Right.
So here's the thing. On offense, you have Harden and Durant on the perimeter. Kyrie, too, if you want. But it's like their penetration and their perimeter, like, you just can't leave Kevin Durant on the perimeter to try to guard Harden or Kyrie coming in. It's going to destroy defenses because then there's Joe Harris, Brooklyn Joe, a sniper, and DJ doesn't care about his shot. Like he'll average and a half points or something. You know, there's
he's gonna average 10 boards, 3 points, and maybe a couple blocks.
It also allows, again, assuming everyone's healthy and playing, for staggering. So while the three stars will play a lot together, I also think, okay, cool. Now it's two of you, you know, go through different combos. We're going to need other people to get minutes in the playoffs anyway. So this is it sort of reminds me of the Lakers last year when they had their stars and then it was just like a bunch of other pieces and their stars brought him home. Yep. So I just don't know how you guard Brooklyn right now. Like you can't really leave any of their four shooters alone. And if you leave DJ, then they're just going to pop into him.
Yeah, no, this is going to be now an offense. I mean, it already was an offense that NBA teams were going to worry about. And now it becomes even more potent. I think that the thing is that we saw go around too was also the fact that like the Nets felt like this deal needed to get done now with all of the weird Kyrie stuff that's been going on. And so it might be something where we don't even like this offense doesn't even really miss a beat because it might not really, who knows if Kyrie plays in the coming weeks or when he comes back and plays with the Nets. Like it seems like I saw a report where he's willing to sit out the year. I mean, Kyrie is his own person in his own universe in a flat plane universe. And, it might just be Harden and KD playing, you know, side by side, in which case both of them are going to plenty get their shots. And that is going to also open up opportunities for Joe Harris to probably get more work and more shots. And then you're going to have, Shamit probably, you know, get minutes probably at the one. Anyways, so this there is so much firepower here. And I think honestly, though, a lot of the most exciting stuff from this trade is the other teams involved. Like the Rockets now have a completely new starting lineup, but the team that, if you want to go to the Rockets, Natty, we can certainly jump to the Rockets. But to me, the low-key winner of this trade is the Pacers. Because I love Caris LeVert, and Caris LeVert managers, like in fantasy basketball, you should be loving this too, because now Caris LeVert is going to be starting for the Pacers, he's going to be like their number two option next to Domantas Sabonis. And we've seen, LeVert, when he gets starting minutes, like he puts up numbers. The guy has been averaging his last three starts for the Nets. He's averaging almost 30 points per game. So, like, this is awesome for anyone who has Caris LeVert on their fantasy team.
It's so funny because last season we were all talking about how Sabonis and Miles Turner can't be on the same team. It's just not working. You got to trade Turner. Maybe you can package him with Depot and get somebody else. And then this year, Sabonis and Turner, like, they look magnificent together.
It works now.
I do feel like this is the Pacers being a little bit cheap combined with Depot maybe not wanting to be there.
Sure.
Caris is like 2 years younger. I just don't like the Pacers notoriously don't pay that much. They already have big contracts. It just doesn't seem like they would have done this if they were going to pay Depot long-term. So they get Caris LeVert, a guy who can handle the ball. I mean, that's the thing. He's been wanting the ball in Brooklyn. So this is extremely nice for him. He'll just take Depot's shots. He fits right in. There's like no real tax, I think. Like Depot's a better defender for sure. I mean, overall, he's a better player, I think. But we both like Caris LeVert a lot. And maybe this now means it's definitely Sabonis's team. And Brogdon and LeVert are, you know, 2A, 2B. And then the Miles Turner, which is fucking great. So this team, I don't think that much changed in the playoffs. I think in a vacuum, I'd rather have Oladipo than Caris. But it's a move that I think extends their window because I just don't think that they were going to stay with Victor. And now you have, you know, you have your replacement. So this is what Indiana does. They have to make trades in order to stay relevant. It's going to be cool to watch the Pacers play the Nets.
I mean, yeah,
it is. And the Cavaliers too. Oh, poor Jared Allen. But staying with the Pacers, they're a really pleasant surprise. They just look great. I mean, this is like the first real big roster move in terms of personnel that they've made in a while since Brogdon, really. And hopefully it works out because they looked really good.
When we did our preseason predictions, like I just had very little faith in what this Pacers team was going to be. I didn't see the vision, and the vision has played out quite magnificently. And I think you're totally right where the move makes sense from a standpoint of Oladipo is on a contract year. It is further cementing that Domantas Sabonis is like, you are our face of the team. You are our off, like basically turning him into Jokic Junior, right? Like that is what I think they ultimately want him to be, is a 20 point, a double double machine, and hopefully getting him into that triple category. I mean, we've seen his assists go up. We've seen the offense kind of move through Sabonis, and getting someone like Caris LeVert, who can run the offense himself, can catch and shoot from the outside, can play, you know, second fiddle if need be, but can also be the guy. Like that's such a great get for me in my mind as a young player. For me, this is whether or not this ultimately like translates to the Pacers making it deeper into the playoffs or whatever it might be. Like this is, I think, such a great move to pair LeVert and Sabonis, who are, I mean, LeVert is what, 26,
I think.
26 and Sabonis is 24. So like there's your cornerstones right there, and you run with those guys.
Dude, Brogdon 2 years ago was playing with Chris Middleton and Giannis. Now he's playing with LeVert and Sabonis and Turner.
Love it.
Yeah, it is an interesting team. It's going to be a fun team to watch, I think. And like always, they are not going to be a team that someone wants to play in the playoffs.
No. So, Caris LeVert, if you have him, well done in fantasy basketball. Mm-hmm. If you can go get him for whatever reason, if someone in your league who has Caris LeVert, I don't know, lives under a rock with Patrick and doesn't know what just happened, try to go get him real fast, because I think he's stepping into an enormous role. We've seen what he can do when he gets 30 plus minutes, and he's about to get 30 plus minutes. So like he's
not going to negatively impact the other Pacers
exactly.
In terms of fantasy. So if you have Brogdon, if you have Sabonis or
right.
Like you don't need to worry about it. I think the shot selection is basically going to stay the same. It's just that instead of Vic, it's Caris.
And what we've seen so far this season, to me personally, like I would, Caris LeVert has shown more the ability to just get fucking hot and give you, you know, a 50 plus fantasy game than Oladipo, which is not to say like, I'm really excited to see what Oladipo is going to be in Houston. And that natty is a perfect fucking segue.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Applause.
Because we have now an entirely new Houston Rockets lineup going on. We've got, so projected, you're probably going to have, you still have John Wall at point, obviously Oladipo at the two, Christian Wood at the five, PJ Tucker. I mean, maybe you move PJ Tucker to the three and you play big and you have DeMarcus Cousins at the five and Wood at the four. The addition of Oladipo though, gives this team, it's obviously a downgrade from Harden, but like this is
in some ways,
well, yes, sir. Offensive wise, it's a downgrade from Harden. Team buy-in wise, big upgrade. I think that this is going to like make Christian Wood even better.
Oh, this helps the Rockets. Like Depot and Wood together is going to be really good. John Wall, if everyone's healthy, including Eric Gordon, like think about this, like the Wall, Gordon, yep. Depot, yep. PJ, Christian yep. Wood, or, you know, throw whoever you want
Love
in
it.
There. It's not a bad team.
No,
and it wasn't a bad team, and it was sort of weird that Harden was so adamant to get out of there. Maybe not weird, but unseemly. How about that? But regardless, this is going to be a fun team to watch. John Wall used to be one of the most exciting downhill players in the NBA, if he can get back to that. He's now sort of the old man on this team, him and PJ Tucker, so that's kind of fun. Boogie keeps getting tossed from games, which I love.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
And there's a case to be made that Oladipo can become the player that he thinks he is on a team like this. Like, John Wall is not all NBA. You know, he's not trying to be the best player on or the face of the franchise. He's, you know, gone through injuries and has seemed to come out the other side a little bit more grizzled in terms of like a vet. Like, he's fought his wars. He knows how the business works. Christian Wood, redemption story. You know, he's got his money. He went through hell to get it. He's playing great. He's showing all the haters why they were wrong. And then there's Depot and Boogie. Like, all these players have good reasons and motivation to show the haters that they can go fuck themselves. So I really like this team in terms of chemistry. Like, everyone has something to rally behind. Also, fuck James Harden. He abandoned us. We have
the biggest thing to rally behind.
Right. So, like, what I mean, this team is 3-6 right now. They're only, I mean, a few games back. It's so early in the season. Like, you know, give them 2 weeks and a string of games and they could be right back in it. So they have all the time in the world to get healthy and to hopefully be competitive.
Going to jump in quickly for a quick ad break. All right, back to whatever it was we were talking about.
I like what Houston got. I mean, they didn't get Ben Simmons. I think that's the only thing you can criticize them for. They chose the picks and getting.
Well, it sounded like Oladipo, Maury wasn't going to part with, like, what the reportedly the Rockets were asking for was Ben Simmons, Tyrese Maxey, and Thybulle. And it sounded like that was, you know, Maury wasn't going to do that. Maybe if you got rid of Thybulle or Maxey, like if you got rid of one of those guys and still built it around Simmons, you know, maybe that trade would have gone through. But I think you're right, where you have a player, and we've seen this before. Like, there've been trades plenty of times where it's a little surprising that even with a player who just, like, you have no leverage, the team has no leverage. Harden has made his stance, you know, known to the universe that he wants out. And yet the Rockets, like, all in all got, I mean, you have 8 first round picks, all of which are unprotected. And it is worth noting that KD, Harden, and Kyrie after this year all have player options. So they could all just leave in 23.
It's the exact same thing as like Brooklyn with Boston.
Exactly. Like, you would think Brooklyn would learn their lesson.
Yeah, but you have to look at it from the point of ownership.
You 100% make this move.
Right, because this year's so weird, anything could happen, and if you get just a little bit lucky, you could get that chip.
You get the chip, and everything is forgiven.
And all it takes is one person getting sick, one person getting injured, one person going on a slump, and all of a sudden you're there. This is like Daryl Morey's wet dream, because it's like, oh, all this chaos. And, you know, if you have a 5% chance, you got to go 100% in.
Right.
There is, though, I think, a legitimate question in this trade, which is that wouldn't you rather just have Ben Simmons than all the other shit combined? Like, if Houston had just said, fine, okay, we don't need the other stuff, just send us Ben. And you get Harden.
Yeah, I mean, I have been a detractor of Ben Simmons, I'll say, lately. So I think you are right that Ben Simmons is clearly the more valuable future franchise piece. But I guess what I would look at is this, is like, Ben Simmons, you know what Ben Simmons is as a player. You know what you'd have to do to build a team around Ben Simmons. And to me, you know what Ben Simmons' ceiling is if he doesn't develop a three-point shot, which is still very good, like, you know, top 15 player in the league. I think it's really hard not to look at what the Celtics did with the Nets, getting just a bajillion first round picks. And yes, it comes down to how well you draft and how well you, you know, use those picks and whatnot. But like the fact that out of that Nets trade, the Celtics ended up with Jason Tatum, MVP perennial candidate from this point onward, top five player in the league, if he wants to be, like at, in the next year or so. I mean, already is sniffing that territory. And Jaylen Brown, who's currently like a fucking MVP himself, and playing out of his goddamn mind, who, God, I just absolutely love it. And so I understand the idea of like, I guess I don't hate the Rockets' decision to be like, look, we're going to get good players now, and we're going to be still an exciting team and put at least a solid product on the floor. But we now also have eight first round picks for a team that maybe they have a 4-year window at the max.
Yeah.
And then we have their next four first round picks. So I certainly don't hate it for.
And when you think about it that way, you have to understand that the Warriors mini dynasty was an aberration. Usually teams don't stay healthy for that amount of time, those amount of games in a row. Like you saw it with the Spurs, you know, not winning back to backs, because going to the finals is really fucking hard and it takes a lot out of you. And when you go to the finals 3 out of 4 years, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
So you can almost sort of like assume that there will be at least one down year in a 5-year period, which means that pick will be more valuable than whether it was the 28th, 29th, or 30th. So
totally.
All of that absolutely makes sense. I like Ben Simmons more than you do, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
But you also have to remember that like Houston maybe doesn't want to suck. Maybe doesn't want to tank, you know, like maybe getting these, maybe they knew, like maybe they pulled the trigger because they knew they could get Victor Oladipo and they were like, okay, actually that's a fucking good grab. And maybe chemistry wise, it makes the team actually work better. Like we're only 3 games under .500. This is not a lost season.
And does Ben Simmons, adding Ben Simmons, mean Christian Wood now has to develop a 3-pointer? Like now I don't need to vacate Christian Wood from the paint.
I would never let Christian Wood get in the way of me getting Ben Simmons, but
I would. Christian Wood, any team who had Christian Wood, we would be foolish to let him leave in free agency.
Even if it means they could get Jeremy Grant. For sure. I agree with that for sure. We don't need to go into a team that wasn't involved in this trade, fucker. Thank you. I will say this, just to go touch back on Boston real quick, and with Ben Simmons, like those are two players who you would hesitate to trade for Luka Doncic. And those players are rare. So if you get one player out of 8 picks that's like that, then you sort of won, because those are the players that you want. Those are the players you can actually build around and hopefully have long careers there. Getting back to Houston, this is also a team that sort of has depth. And so maybe we're excited about what the roster looks like right now, but it's only fucking Wednesday, y'all. Like all these dudes could be gone by Saturday, you know, like Eric Gordon could be gone. PJ, I'm sort of surprised PJ Tucker didn't go to Brooklyn. I thought they like, if he was on the Nets, I would be so much more excited about this trade.
Doesn't it feel like he should have been a trade piece in this?
Fuck yeah. Shit.
I feel like Danny Ainge is on the phone right now trying to get PJ Tucker.
I think he's an attractive guy for any team that really thinks that they can compete this year, but Houston's probably one of those teams, right? So of course they want to keep him. I'm not a Houston fan, obviously. I'm a Pistons fan, but I sort of have to assume that this is bittersweet, but it's also sort of a breath of fresh air and kind of like, all right, cool. Well, it's over.
Right.
Like the hard era is done. And now we can just think about something. It's sort of like Trump era, hopefully ending. It's like, finally, like we're just moving past it. Let's fucking get out of here. I want something else.
Yeah. Also, before we move on to the Cavaliers and wonder what the fuck they're doing. Eric Gordon, a guy to keep eyes on. He is currently dealing. He's day to day with injuries, with a leg injury, but 30% rostered in ESPN leagues. Like, I would put the little checkered flag on him, because if he comes back healthy and he does start for the Rockets and he starts getting, you know, he's doing 25 minutes a game right now, still scoring you 14 points, shooting career low 29%.
But he's been injured. He's been dealing with.
Exactly. Like, exactly. So my point is that, like, if he comes back, he's healthy, he's playing starting minutes, 28 plus minutes. I mean, he just did that last year, and he got you boards. He got you points. He was shooting 31% from three. Like, the guy takes 8.5 threes per game. And if he's getting you 30 minutes per game, like, that's certainly someone who's a waiver wire target to be keeping eyes on moving forward.
I have him rostered in a couple of teams. He's totally worth streaming. And now, I mean, he could turn into a 20-point a game player. Like, who knows what the shot distribution will be like. So Houston is now going to be an interesting team to watch, because we're curious about how they work. And hopefully they'll also be a fun team to watch, because it won't be Harden dribbling the ball into the very center of the earth and everybody else just watching.
Speaking of the surprise that PJ Tucker didn't get traded, you have to think, with adding Jared Allen, another young big, to this roster, are this Cavs, like, set to trade Drummond at his, like, absolute high?
How old do you think the drum is, by the way?
Oh, I'm looking at his age right now, and it will blow my mind. It blow anyone's mind who doesn't know. The dude's still 27. He is averaging 18 points, 15 boards, getting you 1.5 blocks, 1.5 steals. Mm-hmm. He's getting you 3 stocks per game, and he's averaging a double-double, 27 years old, and he's very likely to get traded again.
I love the drum. Go Pistons forever. And I'm really glad that I hung on to him even after he got traded. He's exactly what he purports to be, which is an old school center. I will get you those fucking rebounds and I'll score you some buckets. He's gotten punked by Embiid. And I think that really, he's also, like, just a super awesome, nice guy. So the fact that he isn't, like, a vicious, mean dude, I think has sort of lowered his value in the national consciousness. You know, he doesn't growl. He's not getting in people's faces, but he's still one of the best bigs in the league. He's not old. I know he's been around forever, but he is not old. And he will be someone who can help a playoff team, especially because you're going to need to be big this year. You know, like, Embiid just had a 45-point game. You're going to have to beat the Lakers. You know, like, someone needs to try to do something against Giannis. It won't be Drum, but, like, there's other dudes that you need to have around you. You just need big bodies these days. But it's Cleveland, and I sort of, like, wouldn't be surprised if they re-sign him, you know? Like, I don't know what the fuck. Here's their roster. It's Sexland. Yes. It's Chidi and Okoro. And I love Isaac Okoro, by the way. If he's available and you have an open roster spot, look to Isaac Okoro. See Saucy. If you like what you're he's. I just love his defense. And if his shot is there, then he could be absolutely sexual. K-Love is still there. Larry Nance is still there. JaVale McGee is on this team.
Oh my God, what is this roster?
Dude, and, like, I love Jared Allen, and I really wish he got starter minutes, and it doesn't really seem like that's going to be the case unless they do trade Drum. But if they were going to trade Drum, like, who would they trade? Who wants this guy?
Exactly. Like, who is your trade partner, and what are you? I mean, are you just going to stockpile on picks? Are you trying to go young and try to build this, like, Sexland, Jared Allen trio?
Clippers, maybe, you know, like, we're sending you Lou Williams and Zubac, like, because Sweet Lou can't really play in the playoffs. He just doesn't work the way that he does in the regular season. And the Clippers are going to need big dudes just as much as anybody else. So, you know, I could see something like that, but On the other hand, it's Cleveland. Like, what the living? Oh, and Taurean Prince. I forgot. Taurean Prince is there too.
Oh my God. That's right. That's right.
They now have two dudes at every position, really, except for point guard, unless you still like Matthew Dellavedova. I sort of feel like this team is going to make the playoffs, and that's bizarre. It's so weird. Because they're not good. This is not a good team. But it's a team that has a bunch of guys that could pop during any one game. You know, Kevin Love could have a game. Drum can have a game. Sexton can go off. But everybody's hurt. And this team hasn't ever been healthy all at the same time. So
I just, it makes me feel like Andre Drummond is getting traded, because you added a young Andre Drummond in Jared Allen.
Yeah. Like, young in quotation marks, but it's like the only reason
he's 22. They're going to get you points. They're going to get you boards. They're going to get you blocks, but that's it. Neither of them shoot threes. You know, they're not going to spread the court. They're going to just sit down in the paint. Like, it's a bummer for Jared Allen. Like, I think he still will see. He was just starting to start for the Nets too, and then he got traded.
Right,
and
DJ was down to like under 15 minutes a game.
And he's not gonna start in Cleveland now. And he was good in those starts. He was
also,
he was
like
13 and 10.
Like, why is Larry Nance on this fucking team? You know, as soon as I saw this, I was just like, well, that sort of feels like a good trade because I like Jared Allen, but also, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. I have no idea what the plan is for Cleveland, but they are the perfect trade partner for the Rocket. They're like the perfect team to be included in this, because they make a move where you're just like, I don't get this, but okay. You know, like the Rockets were just like, the Nets were like, okay, we need someone to take Jared Allen and Taurean Prince so this works. And they called around, and the Cavs were like, we literally don't have a reason for either, but we are in.
Just and like we'll send with the Drummond trade last year. There was no they just took him because Detroit was selling him for nothing. They were like, here are two second round picks that will never actually transfer. Also, the combination of Cleveland and Indianapolis being the two teams that jumped into the middle of the inevitable Houston-Brooklyn trade is hysterical to me.
Incredible.
Like, somehow Minnesota can't get involved. Minnesota just can't buy a break.
They really can't. Like,
I mean, you'd rather have Wiseman than Edwards. Everything that they do is wrong. Edwards and then they can't even get involved in a trade like this. It's amazing.
It is poor for Minnesota.
I also got to say, like, if Drummond isn't getting traded, then his value dips, I think. In fantasy, I mean,
yeah,
because you're not just going to have Jared Allen sit there.
No, not at all. Like, I mean, you're going to see Drummond. He's been averaging 31 a game.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to still?
He's been nice. It's been great.
Oh, he's been great. I mean, is he still going to see plus 30 minutes with Allen?
This team, like, they have a full roster, and they have a deeper team than a lot of other teams. But I still just don't really fucking understand, man.
No one knows. No one knows what's going on here. No one knows.
But whatever. Like you just said, I mean, there's probably way more trades down the road. Like, we don't even have a second half of the season schedule yet. That's how wide open and chaotic all of this is going to be.
Celtics haven't played a game since, like, last week.
Right. Yeah,
it's absolutely insane. Jason Tatum, hopefully you make a full and healthy recovery, but is going to have recovered from COVID before. Like, he's not going to have missed a game, which is, I mean, as a Celtics fan, I'm 100% here for.
And meanwhile, like, the Warriors look awesome. They're just so much fun. The Spurs are totally solid. The Suns got destroyed by the Pistons for no good reason, but that happens in weird seasons.
Oh yeah. Happens in NBA seasons.
Like, the thing is, there's three games between the Warriors and the Rockets. That's it. That's all. And that's all. You know, they're not out of it. Like, I feel like the Harden thing, he made it seem like the team was so much worse than the scoreboard actually says. especially being this early in the season. So I, while this did feel inevitable, and it's going to, Brooklyn's just going to become pretty obnoxious, I think. I don't really know what to expect, but every single person I know in Brooklyn texted me this afternoon, "We got Harden." I was
fun with that. Enjoy.
But when it's working, it's going to be very reminiscent of not the Warriors, I think, but of the LeBron, Kyrie, K-Love team. Yeah. And it's going to look great.
It's going to be beautiful to watch. Good. Yeah. No, it'll be great to watch. Awesome. Do you have any final parting thoughts before we go?
I would like everyone to please mask up and just try to be a little bit safer with that. Yeah. But in terms of basketball, Boston and Philly are 1-2 in the standings right now, followed by the Bucks and then the Pacers. That is, not surprising, but all those teams sort of feel stronger to me than they did before we went into the season. In the West, it's Lakers, Jazz, Clippers, Suns. Two of those are surprises. I just did not think the Suns would look like this quickly.
Yeah, the Suns have been the power of the point guard.
And, this is still, we're 11 games in to a weird season. A lot of things can change. I am glad that we have finally turned the page on the Oklahoma City Thunder trio. Like, all of it is now done. It is reborn in Brooklyn, but I think the fact that all of those guys have moved on from where they really starred is kind of nice. It's like Harden in a new ecosystem is always interesting. So it'll be super cool to watch. And of course he will defer to Kevin Durant.
Oh yeah.
All the people who are like, "Oh man, well, he's just going to dribble the ball." No. When Kevin Durant is on your team, you pass it to Kevin Durant. Ask Steph Curry.
Yeah. It's fair. Awesome. Well, there you go. That's all we got for you now. We'll be back at you next week. Don't worry. We're going to get back on a regular schedule, and we have a whole new layout for the show. So stay tuned for that. Make sure you subscribe to the Fate Teams podcast, wherever you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only find us, but also our fantasy baseball and fantasy football shows. Maddie, stay safe, my friend.
You do the same. Ditto to everybody, and enjoy the basketball. Also, poor Bradley Beal.
Poor Bradley Beal.
We didn't really talk about him in this, but it's like everyone gets traded but him.
But Bradley. Well, it's coming. There's a trade deadline. Don't worry.
Yeah.